This episode of WDW Today is being sponsored by MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. And hey, you know, you're looking to plan a trip to Walt Disney World. You're thinking, man, these guys are always talking about Disney. I want to get back down there and experience it myself. Well, MEI and Mouse Fan Travel is here to help you plan that trip and get you a great deal on it. Because after all, we all like going to Walt Disney World. But we also don't like spending lots of money at Walt Disney World. And MEI and Mouse Fan Travel is really out there to make sure that you are going to save the most money you can, get you a great deal, and, of course, get everything you want on your trip. Check them out right now at mousefantravel.com.
Bringing the world to your world, this is Walt Disney World Today. Here are Mike Scopa, Len Testa, Mike Newell, and your host, Matt Hochberg.
It's Wednesday, October 15th, 2014, and this is episode 1409 of WDW Today. I'm Matt Hochberg of StudioCentral.com and RoyalCaribbeanBlog.com. Joining me on today's show is Len Testa, co-author of the official guide to Walt Disney World, and he's also the host of the Disney Dish with Jim Hill podcast. Welcome, Len.
How's it going, Matt?
How was wonderful Hilton Head?
Hilton was really nice. The DVC was great. It felt, you know, you're surrounded by other resorts and you're about a 25-minute walk from the beach, but yeah, it was fabulous. It was totally a Disney resort in the middle of Hilton Head. The rooms are just like every other DVC you would expect. I mean, super nice. Everyone was really friendly. They have got their own mascot dog, a live dog named Shadow. Food. They've got quick service stuff at the in the resort, but then they actually don't have table service. But the reason why they don't have table service is you can walk to like 50 different places based on where it's at. So, yeah, I really liked it a lot. I'm looking forward to coming back.
Cool. Also joining us on today's show is Mike Scopa, a blogger for touringplans.com and co-host of the Mickey Miles podcast. Welcome to the show, Mike.
We were sitting in the back seat, and I was doodling in my journal. Right, pork chop?
That would be Doug Live.
Whoa.
Yeah, pork chop gave it away. If you stated with the first sentence, I would have had no clue.
Yeah, but I didn't want to.
Yeah.
Get too tough on you.
Also joining us on today's show, Mike Newell of Mouse World Radio. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Howdy, boys.
And on today's show, we're answering your listener emails. Let's get things started with an email from Rob from Indiana. I've noticed many references to Disney on The Big Bang Theory. The more I watch, the more I notice them. So I sat out on a quest to see if I could find if it was just me or if they are indeed there. After watching all 7 seasons of the show, I found a total of 23 references to something Disney, excluding Marvel and Star Wars. I've included them in this email and would like to hear your idea on why they're there. Is it as simple as the show is set in California, close to Disneyland, or as complex as Disney and they all want to create impacts on our lives so it's much more commonplace? Is it weaves in and out of our conversations like the weather? I think it's just, I mean,
could the writers just be fans?
Give me some references.
Yeah, I'm going to pull it up right now. I mean, newsflash, Disney is pretty well known out there. It's not like it's some small little unknown thing that they're, you know, it's not like they're referencing our podcast as an example, right?
Because that's a small little thing.
That's a small little, very, very small little thing. All right, here we go. In season 1, episode 8, Howard said, "You see people dressed up at Disneyland. You can even have Snow White come to your house, but you really should have a child there." Season 1, episode 12, after being told to go away by Leonard, Howard, and Raj, Sheldon said, "Curiouser and curiouser," which is a reference to Alice in Wonderland. Season 3, episode 20, Penny takes Sheldon to Disneyland. Season 5, episode 4, when Raj is dating a girl that the group thinks is dating him for his money, Penny asks, "How rich is he?" And Sheldon answered, "About halfway between Batman's Bruce Wayne and Scrooge McDuck." These are all just, you know,
yeah,
pop culture references more than – they're not like – I don't think they're really like, you know, huge Disney fans more than – I mean, they reference, you know, lots of things like, you know, comic books and everything. It's just – I don't think this is anything more than just, you know.
I think it's a show that really focuses on pop culture stuff.
Yeah, it's just, you know, making reference to things. That's what they do. So, but it's always nice to pick up on stuff, right? Next, we have an email from Amanda from St. Paul, Minnesota. We're taking a trip with the extended family in January 2015. We have a dining reservation at Hoop Dee Doo at 4 o'clock. Yahoo! And I'm wondering if we'll be able to make it back to the Magic Kingdom in time for the Main Street Electrical Parade at 8 o'clock. We're starting the day off at a different park, and we'll have our own vehicles, so would we be better off parking at the Magic Kingdom then heading to and from Fort Wilderness, or
yes,
driving to Fort Wilderness and heading back to Fort Wilderness at the end of the night?
What is what time's the show?
Four.
Four.
You got time.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll make it.
I'll take the boat back. So park at the Magic Kingdom. Don't drive there, because once you drive there, you'll have to take the internal bus system or the infernal bus system, as I like to call
it.
Do it that way.
Next, we have an email from Bill from Ohio. Gents and Annette, if applicable. Hey, my family of five is headed to the world in late February 2015. I have a conundrum I have run into. I can't get a straight answer, and I hope you guys can solve it. We want to dine at Be Our Guest for lunch, and I've heard you can utilize FastPass Plus reservations for this, though I seem to find conflicting information on this most everywhere I turn. Is this rumor true? And if so, what are the guidelines that it's like any of your FastPass Pluses for the day? Is it relegated to resort guests only? Any help on rules and structure would be appreciated.
So this is interesting. The right now, at least for the next couple of weeks through the first week of December, maybe first week of November through like the 10th, it's going to be a separate fast pass. So you can get three attraction fast passes plus the Be Our Guest fast pass at like Be Our Guest Lunch. Disney.co.com. Is that it? Is that the URL?
Sounds right.
Yeah, sounds good. Anyway, but the interesting thing is after that, I hear that they're going to switch Be Our Guest over to be a regular fast pass, just like an attraction. So you'll be able to get two attractions and Be Our Guest, but not three attractions and Be Our Guest. Like it'll actually become part of the regular fast pass system. That's supposed to happen. I originally heard October 31st. Now I'm hearing like middle of November.
Oh, all right. Well,
and that's and that's interesting for, well, you know, I can kind of see it both ways, right? Number one, if you think about it, you've got three different reservation systems in Walt Disney World. You've got ADRs, you've got attractions, and then you've got Be Our Guest FastPass. So if they make the change, there'll only be two ADRs and FastPass Plus. I kind of get that. On the other hand, no one considers lunch an attraction, right? I mean, as good as Be Our Guest is,
right?
It's not the same thing as Space Mountain.
Oh, I totally agree, Lynn. All right, next email is from Mary Tugas of Salem, Connecticut. Love you guys and hope you all get to this before we leave in a couple months. We'll be driving down to the world and staying at Pop Century. I was wondering about two things I haven't really been able to find info at any Walt Disney World sites or by listening to your entertaining podcasts. We were thinking that we would drive over to the boardwalk on arrival day and hang out there for a bit as we did not check out this area on our last trip in 2012. Then we planned to go to Epcot via the International Gateway and do some of the World Showcase and Illuminations perhaps. I was just wondering if leaving the car parked in boardwalk parking to do that is a no-no. We aren't trying to get out of paying for parking as we wouldn't pay regardless, and I just wanted to do something a bit different for us.
What can you tell me what time of year this is going to happen?
Because and they're looking at the fall.
All right. Well, if it's during Food and Wine, you can forget about parking at Boardwalk.
Yeah, they'll turn you around.
Yeah. You can't park at Boardwalk, Beach Club, unless you can walk on water or you're staying there. And
they could they not park at the Swan and Dolphin and pay for it?
I'm sure you could.
Yeah.
I think anyone could pay that park there.
Yeah.
I don't know, you know that? What is that, $10?
But you know that they don't have all that many spots. I remember parking there
for
dinner in August, and I had a hard time finding a spot.
You got to go all the way over to the left, right?
Correct. Yes.
Yeah.
Nick. Also, Mary asked, the other question I have is about FastPass Plus and what happens if you make them and then don't show. Ooh. This is the rule: you have to make three when doing them in the first place, but then it may end up not really needing them because the standby line is so short anyway. For example, at Epcot, the tiered FastPass Plus may be only need for Soarin', but others you make anyway. They must know that the My Disney Experience link that you didn't show. I was wondering if Disney has figured out a way to penalize guys that do this in some way, or am I just mildly paranoid and cynical about being tracked? I believe that we did that once. We didn't hit one of – we missed one on purpose. We just didn't get around to it. We're like, I'm not walking around across the park for something. It was just the same situation, an attraction we really didn't need it for. And I want to say we could have just rebooked that later. We were allowed to, even though the time had passed, we could have rebooked it for something else and still retained that fast pass slot, as it were. I could be wrong on that, but that was my experience in the park there. All right. Next email is from Aaron from Gibson City, Illinois. Thank you for such an informative and entertaining podcast. My question is, what's wrong with Villains Unleashed? I've heard you guys make a couple disparaging remarks about it, so what's the scoop? Sounds like a great idea for an event I would have liked to attend it in the future.
Well, I haven't been there. I've just talked with some people who have been there. And I've also, and I'm not going to mention any names, But there have been some people who have been usually very, very positive about things that have gone on at the Disney World Resort, and very rarely, if ever, have some of them spoken, you know, in a not so glamorous way about something. And when one of those people says, you know, I was very underwhelmed, that's when I listen. If you listen to someone who says, you know, something's good all the time, then you don't know what to believe. But when you hear something from someone who has in the past said good things all the time, and then all of a sudden that person says, well, you know, I'm not sure about this, I pay attention. So that's where I got mine. I have not seen it, so I can't say firsthand.
I had not seen it firsthand either, but I had most of the reviews I'd read or heard, be it on actual reviews on websites or via, you know, Twitter and Facebook, they generally were of the negative variety, oversold, very crowded, and that sort of a thing. And that's kind of what – that's what, again, I'm just basing that on what I had heard. But most first-time events usually suffer from those type of issues more than anything. And usually in the next year, they do a lot better job because they, again, have feedback and they kind of have it, a better idea of what to expect and how to deal with it.
Yeah, they're surprised it was oversold. I'm surprised.
Next, we have an email from Gerald from Palmyra, Pennsylvania. If I'm an offsite guest, can I use a magic band from a previous onsite trip instead of purchasing a new one?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Can an offsite guest use someone else's old magic band? No, we learned that, right?
Nope.
And is it perfectly safe to sell, give away old magic bands? I assume no information can be taken from them.
Nah, I never assumed that.
Yeah, I would destroy all, you know, destroy all monsters, destroy them.
Yeah, with fire, preferably.
Yeah.
Just to be safe.
Flamethrowers and and garlic during October.
Garlic. Next, we have an email from Jenny.
8675309.
I was going to do it. Thank you.
Jenny was a friend of mine. Big show, big fan of the show. Have been listening since episode 24, and this is my first time asking a question. Wow. I'm heading south for the Wine and Dine Half Marathon in November.
It's Jesse. You're killing me.
Oh, it's Jesse was a friend of mine?
Is it
Jenny also was a friend of mine.
Rick Spangfeld is now turning over in his grave.
Oh, Jeremiah was still alive.
Traveling with my parents, sister, and friend, five of us all together. We're staying at the Swan Thursday through Monday, but my friend and I would like to stay a little bit longer, so we've decided to switch resorts. The Swan is sold out Monday night to Wednesday. So we want to book Monday to Wednesday at Port Orleans French Quarter. We don't have season passes, so we're planning on buying five-day park hoppers. Would the front desk be able to transfer our room reservations at Port Orleans onto our magic bands with our park tickets on them? Probably take like an hour, but I'm sure they can.
I'm sure it'll take a long time, but I think that it can be done. I think it can be done.
Yeah, I just think.
So their park admission is on, and they want to get their rooms put on the band, or What's the order? Because the order may make a difference here.
Yeah, they're going to the Swan first, and then they're going to Port Orleans, and they want to transfer their room reservations at Port Orleans onto the Magic Bands, which I think they're using at the previously with Swan and Dolphin.
Okay. I think that's the way it works. I think that the room. Sure. Yeah, I think that's the way it works.
Very good. Thank you, Jenny. Next, we have an email from Rick Altman. Hello, Matt. You and the team were very kind and had me on a show 5 years ago, helping me plan a trip with my son and me. We're returning for the first time in 5 years, soon, with a day at Universal Studios. Touring plans helps. I also met you face-to-face at a meetup with Lou Mangiello. I have one piece of news about a test we got in on, which you may already know about, and one dopey question about Universal. Got an email offering a FastPass Plus spot for lunch at Be Our Guest on the Monday we were visiting the Magic Kingdom. We ordered our food in advance, show up at our designated time slot, scan our Magic Bands, get seated, and our food is there, or will be shortly anyway. Yes, you have to pay for it, so we aren't guests in the traditional sense, but it seems like an interesting test. What do you think?
The ability to order the food? You know what? I can see it both ways. On the one hand, I can see it does save like 5 or 10 minutes, you know, in line and doing other stuff.
Yeah. There's one less line to wait in, and then there's less of a line outside as well.
On the other hand, who really knows what they want for lunch 27 days in advance? I mean, really, come on. Just that level of scheduling is.
I don't think it's any more different than picking. I'm going to make a reservation for restaurant X. You know, and for 6 o'clock, knowing that I'm going to be hungry at 6 o'clock, I have no idea.
Well, yeah, but that's you know, that's a little bit different because even when you've got, you know, restaurant X, you've still got probably 30 things on the menu that you can order. Here, sure. They're saying that not only do you have 3 things on the menu, but you must choose one now 4 weeks in advance.
Okay.
I mean, okay, so, I mean, let's put it this way. What are you having for dessert on Thanksgiving?
Pumpkin pie.
Oh, okay, but what are you having the day before Thanksgiving?
Yeah, that's a good point.
All right.
Rick also wants to know, do you happen to know the cheapest one-day park hopper ticket to Universal? I saw an offer for $150 plus tax that includes the one-day two-park ticket plus round-trip shuttle from the Disney resorts. A lot, but we get to see Harry Potter, Rip Ride Rocket, and other new stuff to us, not into the Hollywood Horror Nights. Glenn, do you happen to know, I don't think your ticket calculator is for Universal, right?
No, it didn't. But that's a good deal, actually.
Okay. And one more thing. Happily, I found that the original fettuccine Alfredo, Parmigiano Reggiano, as mentioned by name, is available for lunch only at Hollywood and Brown Derby, holding the prosciutto brittle, but perhaps on the side. Cool. Thanks for the information. Next, we have an email from Alicia in Minnesota. Thanks for a fantastic podcast and all the great information. I'm hoping you can sprinkle some pixie dust to help me see the upside of FastPass Plus. My brother and I have been going to Disney World every year in early December, but before the crowds get bad. For many years, we have been going to make great use of fast passes in the past. We figured out great plans and routines for getting the most out of our trips to the world. Now that FastPass Plus is here, we're feeling resistant to the changes, but we're trying to embrace them. So can you tell us how we can best make FastPass Plus work for our advantage and help us get more excited about it? Our approach to visiting Disney World includes staying off-site, using FastPass to get re-ride favorites multiple times in a day, such as getting 3 or 4 rides on Soarin', 2 to 3 rides on Toy Story Midway Mania, and being at the parks from park opening until park closing with no breaks. We also usually park hop. Given our approach to the parks, how can FastPass Plus best work for us? In other words, please convince us that there are good perks to the system for us and our style of touring. I think it could definitely work. The advantage is, so here's the thing. Getting attractions that are like really probably like Soarin' and Toy Story, yeah, it's probably not going to work for you. But the thing is, it helps you really with a lot of attractions that had like moderate waits. As an example, like Buzz Lightyear. Like, I would never wait 20 minutes for Buzz Lightyear because it's Buzz Lightyear. It's ancient. Which laser is mine? I hate that stuff. But with FastPass Plus, you can instantly get in that ride now. And for me, then it's worth it because it's, you know, sitting down, air conditioning, it's fun. I don't have to wait in that queue. And being able to get through there really makes a difference. So what I did, and I think you might find this advantageous for your style and given your time of year, is to go into the park actually with nothing. You can look what's available, but I went in with nothing, no reservations, went straight to the kiosk and see what you can pick up right there then on the spot and kind of work your fast passes as you keep going back to those kiosks to rebook, you know, what interests you. And I've really found that rewarding, and honestly, that's when I kind of really got into FastPass Plus. I really saw the benefit of it is that because even though there's not really, you know, again, Buzz Lightyear is the example, you know, the line's 15, 20 minutes, but it's 15 or 20 minutes I didn't have to wait in. And so when you have it, it's great.
And Rosie's agreeing with you.
Rosie agrees with me. Yeah. So,
one out of one official dogs of this podcast show.
That's right, Matt Riff.
So if it, I think that may work to your benefit. Try it out one day and see how that works. But I really found that to be really up my alley in that regard. I don't know if, Len, you obviously are a big fan of the – made a whole business around it – going, you know, commando and really going about it whole hog. What's your thoughts on answering this email from Alicia? They're like commando-type people, and they want to know why FastPass Plus is going to be good for them.
Ah, okay. So a couple of things. One is especially in the Magic Kingdom. There are still too many headliner attractions to see before the park gets crowded. So with the addition of Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, you've got, you know, the Three Big Mountains, obviously. You've got things like Peter Pan's Flight. If you've got small kids and they want to see something like Tomorrowland Speedway, way too many things to do before the park gets crowded. There's only so many things you can do in the first 2 hours. So what FastPass Plus allows you to do is save some of them until later so that you can get through the absolute bottlenecks in the first hour the park is open. So things that are classic second-tier attractions, Peter Pan's Flight, Tomorrowland Speedway, those are the attractions for which getting, you know, like a 10 or 11 o'clock FastPass Plus reservation will be really, really good. It also helps out in things like in the studios with Toy Story Mania. Even if you get there first, You know this, Matt. There'll still be a 20-minute wait.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Even if you're standby. But if you've got a fast pass, it'll be, you know, half that. So that helps out there because you can get onto the next set of attractions.
Cool. Next, we have an email from Bryce Kershey of Canton, Ohio. Just wanted to give a couple thoughts on my most recent trip to the world. Number one, some disclaimers. I only went to the park for one day and knew it would be the Magic Kingdom. Also, I'm a young guy traveling solo, so I can get across the park quickly. My day in the Magic Kingdom was August 22nd. I thought the park was average crowds, but based on what I accomplished after 11 a.m. arrival, maybe it was less. Went primarily for the Villains Unleashed event. It was talked about enough online, but despite it being poorly done, I still had a lot of fun. I would attend in the future hoping it would improve some obvious fixes. Also, I went in with a negative viewpoint about FastPass Plus, and I must say, I was pleasantly surprised. I had my first three FastPass Pluses on the arrival day set for Space, Thunder, and Mine Train from 12:50 to about 3:50. In total, I used 10 FastPass Pluses that one day in the Magic Kingdom. Once you know what the attractions will be around you and you aren't afraid to check the kiosks for any better times, you can really take advantage of it. Despite a ride like Pirates having a 30-minute wait, I could get a FastPass Plus to ride it in 15 minutes from the time I was at the kiosk, so make frequent trips to the kiosk. I got a FastPass for Splash for 2 hours later. I came across another kiosk, stopped for just because to get a splash time 80 minutes early after an 8-minute walk. For the Mine Train, what's there is fantastic, but it's really too short. It needs more dark ride or more coaster, preferably both. And Festival of Fantasy Parade, I loved it all, and I'm not a parade guy, but the soundtrack doesn't do much for me. I agree with a lot of what he says, especially with a FastPass Plus. I think he nailed it, especially for that last question. Refer to that. There you go. That's a good one. And Scopo, were you saying that or was it Len? You guys were talking about the Mine Train being short.
I thought it was, yeah, maybe by about, I don't know, maybe another 30 seconds would be nice. Just boom, boom, it's over. You know, it's like, it's not that much longer than the Barnstormer. That's for sure.
And that's short. That's real short.
Yeah.
What? That's so funny.
So funny.
Try not to say that's what she said.
All right, let's answer.
I've been totally useless on this show. I apologize.
Well, because of that, Len, I'm going to let you pick the last question.
Yeah. Len. Come on. You can do it.
Last question today. Len, get to choose from three emails. Ready to go?
Yes.
Help me stick it to the man, Mouse. FastPass Plus, now with lines. Sound on the water.
Fire in the sky.
Man, they're playing on my love of Deep Purple there. Let's go to the third one.
Last email today is from Lucas Hefner of Rome City, Indiana. On episode 1364, you guys talked about recommending a room at Saratoga Springs given the construction noise coming from a downtown Disney Springs. Someone commented that there was enough water separating the two that any sound shouldn't really be a problem. As someone who's lived on a lake for most of my life, I will tell you that the surface of water helps sound travel. Construction, music, and even people talking are often audible when they might not be in other situations. That being said, I would like to avoid the noise the listener might want to skip in the waterfront room. Thanks for all you do.
Yeah. Behind Raglan Road, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on right now. So,
yeah, Congress Park might not be a great idea.
Yeah, exactly.
So, cool. I appreciate the
Nice job, Len.
Thank you.
Nice job.
He's a natural.
He's natural, not like Ben.
They were going to say Newell's. Like, ouch.
Wow, yeah.
We're soft like triple. The Steelers are soft like triple cream cheese.
And that's coming from Scopo. What does he know?
They're like soft like the Patriots offensive line.
Yeah. The Patriots win this past weekend?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And touchdowns, 400 yards, Brady, yeah.
And Mike, before this weekend, you're welcome for the win of Thursday's win.
Thanks
You're welcome.
Well, the Sports Break and podcast has been brought to you by MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. And hey, the good news is when you're planning a trip to Walt Disney World, when you want to make that next trip or trips, plural, happen, MEI and Mouse Fan Travel is here to help you make it a reality. Because, of course, they've got lots of great deals actually going on right now for the fall, winter, and even spring next year. So you want to check them out right now at mousefantravel.com. For Len, Mr. Mike Scopa, and Mike Newell, I'm Matt Hotchberg. We'll see you on the next show.
Stupid Judy, stupid energy.
This has been a production of Mouse World Radio.